Kelly, this is Carlos from Sprint, and you're listening to CF.
Pulp there to kick off this evening. Hello and good evening, folks. You're tuned into CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca. My name is Rue. This is the Yellow Brick Road, CFRC's British and Irish music show. And we're on a bit of a Brit Awards weekend kick over here on the show. We just started off with Pulp's performance from way back in 1996, 30 years ago at the Brit Awards, where they performed Sorted for Ease and Wiz in, I think, what must be one of the most happening years for the Brit Awards. But, you know, every year has something really interesting to bring to it, and this year's 2026 Brit Awards were just this weekend, on Saturday in fact. Watched the ceremony last night to bring you the show today, and we're going to be talking about it a little bit, not just about kind of the Brit Awards that happened this time, but a little bit of Brit's history and all that. And of course, we'll have a lot of great music from new releases and new artists on the show for you, as we do every week. So stay tuned, we've got a great hour and a half for you. Now, if you're tuning in for the first time and you're like, what are the Brits? They are basically the British music industry's biggest awards night. It's sort of like the Junos are here in Canada, except it's almost the other way around, because the Junos are based on the Brits. But Basically, the Brits are known as the biggest night in British music. The eligibility period for this year was from the 6th of December to the 4th of December 2025. So it kind of spans the whole year. And these are fairly selective awards. So, you know, you've got prizes like the Mercury Prize, which are more about kind of honoring, kind of celebrating talent and all of that, regardless of how successful an album has been. But the Brits are the industry's awards. So to even be eligible, you have to have had albums in the top 40 charts, right? So either you have to have like a charting album or a charting single or two. And in fact, this year, a lot of the criteria became even narrower. So you had to have a top 30 album. So all albums and artists that get nominated for these awards are already, you know, the kind of the cream of the British music crop, as it were. And it's been an interesting year for awards in general. We've seen for the first time since 1977 that this year the Brit Awards moved outside of London and they were hosted at Manchester's brand new Co-op Arena, 20,000 people in there. And, you know, it kind of signifies something as well, because when you move it out of London, you kind of move into regional music scenes. So this year was sort of about celebrating, you know, the UK city of music. You can almost call Manchester that, you know, which has time and time again birthed and energized a lot of music scenes, a lot of British music scenes, from punk and post-punk in the 70s and 80s to sort of Madchester, acid house, that rave music scene, and everything that was happening at the Hacienda, the new wave scene, Factory, all of that. So many Britpop legends also came from Manchester. So it's definitely a city with rich musical history. And so the sort of award ceremony was themed around that a little bit. They were led in part by Robbie Williams, who was not hosting the show, but, you know, the pop singer formerly of the pop group Take That. It's their hometown as well. And so he led a supergroup to pay tribute to Ozzy Osbourne, not from Manchester, from Birmingham, but, you know, who is obviously such a big figure in British music, you know, as a British heavy music legend. And, of course, being Manchester, it had a section honouring Noel Gallagher, you know, Oasis songwriter, as Songwriter of the Year for his contribution to music and kind of a celebration of his part in Manchester and British music history, and kind of served as a homecoming for him as well. There were some performances by some leading artists in British music at the moment, in the world of pop music, if you will. These actually weren't artists that had albums out last year, so one of them at least was not nominated for any awards. But, you know, they have albums coming out soon, so I think this is a good place to kick off this week's show. So, in a surprising move for this show, I'll tell you that much, we're going to start off this week's show with a bit of Harry Styles. I know, never thought I'd say that on this show, but we're kicking off the evening here with him as he kicked off the Brit Awards with a fully choreographed performance of his brand new single, Aperture. This is kind of a new era for him. So his new album is coming out next week. It's called Kiss All The Time, Disco Occasionally. And, you know, he hasn't released an album since his 2022 album, Harry's House. So he wasn't up for any awards. But that album, Harry's House, was the album of the year at the Brits back in 2023. So this is kind of a return for him as well. So we're going to be playing you that performance from the Brit Awards. And I'm also going to play you something by Ray, whose new album, This Music May Contain Hope, comes out on the 27th of March next month, and it's the same day as Robin and Slater also have big albums, big pop albums coming out, so that'll be an interesting day. But the album is going to be a big emotional affair, 17 tracks. Ray said it's an album, it's a story about hope, love and fear, the emotions that shaped me both as an artist and a person. And she performed a medley of a few songs. There's Where the Hell Is My Husband, which for which she was actually nominated at the Brits as well for Song of the Year, and a new song that she's just released called Nightingale Lane, both on the new album. That new song is a bit of a heartbreak tune, and you know, the second single from her album. She is also an artist who has won Album of the Year lately for her debut album that came out in 2023. She won it in 2024. So, you know, just kind of 2 years of Artist of the Year kicking off this year's 2026 awards. She's going to be in town, actually. She's coming to Canada. She'll be playing in early April in Vancouver, in Montreal, in Toronto, and you can find her work at Ray Official, spelled R-A-Y-E, Official. Let's get started with a little bit of Harry Styles. This is Aperture, live at the Brit Awards 2026, here on the Yellow Brick Road.
Let's go! Your husband is coming.
Testing my patience, only fear taking time. A woman that ain't me, but I've been reviewing applications till I get my hands on him. I'ma tell him all for how he kept me waiting. Such a shame. The song is called Nightingale Lane. On a street in the South London suburbs is where my first love kissed me goodbye. His lips were thin and beer stained, and tear stained was a pain that made me cold enough. After the oceans I cried, I'm made of steel, just float. And now but when I dry on this road, I reminisce. I'll drive slow, I've let him go now. I just see a ghost town. And sometimes at red lights with closed eyes, I tell myself to go on. Just say
album that's coming out on the 27th of March. This music may contain hope that Medley also had her first single, Where the Hell Is My Husband, which we actually heard live last year at a couple of festivals, including Glastonbury, and it was just such a moment. We saw her a couple of years ago because she was in Canada last when she played at Oceaga Festival back in 2024, and you know, she's just such a class act. half of her set was actually cut short by lightning, and every other artist that was playing on the day, which was a Sunday, so the last day of the festival, which ends a little bit early as well, everyone just wanted to see Ray so badly that all the artists that were playing on her stage, which was like one of the bigger stages, actually pulled together to give her, you know, five minutes from each of their sets so that she could play like a short 20-25 minute set, and it was glorious. But anyway, she has her album coming out, and she's, like I said, no stranger to the Brits. She was there in 2024. And do you know what, folks? I think I'm gonna, as the show goes on, tell you a little bit about some of my favorite moments from past Brit Awards, just to give you an idea of what this function, this award, is really like. So, you know, this Ray was one of my favorite moments from 2024. She was a record-breaking nominee. She was nominated for 7 Brit Awards that year, and she won 6 of them. And all of this comes as a huge vindication for her when it happened, because as an artist, you know, she was stuck in a really bad record deal. Her label, Polydor, I don't know, they didn't really have faith in her music. They didn't allow her to release her album for 7 years. And she'd been a songwriter in the industry since she was a teenager, almost, really. A brilliant writer, but, you know, the label didn't have faith in her. They, you know, kept her album and her career on the shelf for almost a decade until she reached a breaking point. And she threatened to go public about it, and she did go public about it, basically. And it's at that point that her label finally let her go, and she went independent and released one of the most successful British albums of the year, her 2023 debut album, My 21st Century Blues, which just, you know, it had that huge hit, Escapism, and there's just so much depth and soul and this blend of, like, electronica and jazz on that album. It's absolutely brilliant, and so understandably, it, you know, went on to win Album of the Year, Song of the Year, made her Artist of the Year, a total of 6 awards that she won. Oh, Polydor, you really fumbled bad with Ray. But so since then, she's been a really open advocate for songwriters, you know, having been in their position. And she's said before that, you know, writing royalties are really meager. And while stars have the kind of face and brand power recognition thing that they can pull, you know, sponsorships and brand deals and all that stuff, it's the songwriters who are deliberately kept faceless who kind of get left behind and lose out. So when she won Songwriter of the Year in 2024, she used one of the biggest stages and platforms in the country to advocate for better remuneration for writers, you know, and it was a big deal. It did lead to some small changes in, like, PRS, you know, writing royalties and how those things are calculated, and the fact that labels are now required to pay for songwriting sessions. So it's not just that artists get the royalties, but they actually get paid for the time that they spend doing these writing sessions, which I think is a direct result of all the advocacy that Ray has put out, in particular on such a high level. And then, obviously, winning Artist and Album of the Year for her was a huge moment. You know, she stood up there, she was in tears, and she was saying, "All I wanted was to be an artist and release my album." And she went on to make one of the best ones in the country. And she brought her grandma up on stage with her, because at this point, by the time she won Album of the Year, which is one of the final awards, she had already been on stage and said what she had to say 5 times already. So, you know, she was out there, just, as she said, very emotionally, ugly crying on national television, hugging her grandma, until she finally said, "Grandma, let's go," and walked off the stage. It was just genuinely one of the most moving moments at the Brits. And we'll be talking about the Brits and, you know, about this year's shows and all of that as the show goes on. But we're also going to be playing some new music for you for the next hour and a half that we are here. So we're going to play some music by South Arcade, who are an Oxford-based band who started in 2021. They kind of blew up online, posting videos of their band rehearsals, and, you know, gained a really big following, and they've been playing some big shows. They're playing, I think, Download Festival this summer, which is a pretty big, like, heavy music festival, metal festival. But they put out an EP a little while ago called Play, and I'm going to play a track off of it called Supermodels, which is sort of like an observation on the highs and lows of fame, or as much fame as you can get in indie circles anyway. You can find them at southarcade.com. I'm going to be playing us some music as well from Law and Order, whose name I only recently realized was a play on the phrase law and order. So she's a songwriter and a producer, and she's had an interesting journey into the world of music, because she kind of, you know, she's sort of not an outsider to music. Her parents were both music journalists, kind of working for rival magazines. Mum was an NME writer, dad's a Kerrang writer. And so she began her career kind of living between, grew up sort of between England and the French town of Albi, where she mainly grew up. And she began kind of producing underground hip-hop artists in her teens and has been releasing her own music since 2021. She released her debut single, Praxis, just last month, in late January, and that's the first single to her upcoming debut album, Whole World as Vigil. That's scheduled to come out on the 27th of March, same day as Ray's, so just joining in that big album mix. But you can find her music at Lauren Auder, spelled Lauren, A-U-D-E-R, .bandcamp.com. And then I've got a new single from a songwriter, Gretel Hanlin, who goes mononymously as Gretel. And it's kind of, it's a song called Squish. It's a little bit Florence and the Machine. It's a bit Nick Cave. It's a bit theatrical. You can find her work at Gretel, spelt with three R's, gretel.com. And it's also the title track from her just-announced debut album, Squish, which is coming out on 10th of April, so we'll look out for that. She says it's sort of about being overwhelmed by desires and ambitions. She says, sometimes I have dreams so oversized that when I look down at myself, I'm just doing this awkward infant waddle towards them, and don't we all feel that? So we're going to listen to that, but let's get started off. This is South Arcade with Supermodels.
Misinterpret every word spoke. I'm not strong, no tower, no oak. You know, and your skin doesn't bring home. It's not supposed to, it just gets you close. What more can I explain? A whole world that I contain. It's not a matter of better days. A generator whenever I say. Capture most of its glow. She was scared laying bare-souled. How does it feel? We've arrived your home. What more can I obtain? At least on life that I have gained. It's not a matter of better days. A generator whenever I say. But every time I walk out of the house, that's praxis. Every step I take keeps the world on its axis. All the little things learn to keep this true. All the sleight of hand just to make it through. Praxis, every step I take is the word on its axis. All the little things learn to keep this true. All the sleight of hand just to make it. Well, every time I walk out of the house, that's praxis. Every step I take keeps the world on its axis. All the little things learn to keep this true. All the sleight of hand just to make it through.
folks, that was a bit of Gretel, a new song of hers called Squish. That's from her debut album of the same name that's coming out soon. We also heard some music from Law and Order and South Arcade to begin the last set. And we've been talking also about the Brit Awards because they took place yesterday on the Saturday. And we've been talking about past Brit Awards. Of course, I was telling you a little bit about Ray. But I want to talk about this year's Brit Awards that took place in Manchester last night, moving out of London for the first time and all of that. They've been going on since 1977, and they are sort of meant to reflect the top of the top of British music. And I felt that this year's awards and how they ended up being at the very end was quite representative of the state of British music right now. So in the last few years, British music has seen a bit of an ascent on the most powerful stages, you know, on the kind of top of the global musicians, whatever you want to call it, charts or however you look at it. But you sort of since 2022, British music has been rising up in more indie circles. You know, bands like Wonder Horse were kind of breaking through online. People like Idols and Shame and, you know, The Last Dinner Party, electronic artists like Barry Can't Swim, rappers like Central Cee had sort of been gaining recognition globally. They'd been playing larger theatres, some even on their way up to arenas, as I remember Idols had played a few years ago. But on the whole, British music had sort of been losing ground to American music in terms of its reach as a British cultural export. So, you know, the industry people, so this is people that kind of work at labels and A&R and like label bosses and all that kind of stuff. People that work in the background and like in executive positions in the industry, and those who kind of work on a more economy and governmental level had been looking at this quite worriedly, you know, looking at year-end numbers and streams and all of that, and seeing that none of the sort of top of the top artists globally were UK artists anymore. So if you look at kind of like the top 10 most streamed artists at the end of the year and things like that, they found that there were very few British artists in it, and this was kind of sliding out over the years. And in some ways this reflected a worrying state for the UK industry and music economy, you know, reflecting things like decreased funding for and spaces for music, and, you know, access to resources, things that Wolf Alice's Ellie Rosell noted in her band's acceptance speech for Group of the Year this year, where she said 6,000 jobs were lost, 30 grassroots venues overall shut down this year in kind of the underground music. But in the last year to a year and a half, I'd say somewhere around mid-2024, maybe even 2025, there was something of a breakthrough for the British music industry, where suddenly artists like Lola Young, whose album This Wasn't Meant For You Anyway, came out in 2024. And we saw her at Oceaga that year. She had not yet really broken through, you know, conspicuously doing a 2 p.m. set. No fuss, really. You know, everyone was waiting to see Chapel Roan, who was playing after her. But almost a full year later, you know, with her album already being out, it then blew up with songs like Messy becoming such a hit, and kind of that thing of longevity, where an album doesn't have to be a quickly consumed thing, where it can stay in, you know, the public's consciousness for a long time. That maybe, I think, gave British music a bit of hope. And what came out of that was you started to see artists like Sam Fender rise from playing theatres, because he'd played the Danforth Music Hall in Toronto last time that he'd come round, to now playing arenas. He played the 8,000-seater Coca-Cola Coliseum this year. Rappers like SD Kid, the Liverpool rapper who, alongside artists like Central Cee and Dave, has been kind of bringing UK rap to global success, which has been very difficult to do, especially in America, with kind of, you know, cultural differences over the last many, many years. And of course, artists like Olivia Dean, who has had the biggest year in British music possible and become a global pop superstar. And so, you know, in the face of all of that, there weren't really surprises in who won what at the Brit Awards. Olivia Dean swept the awards, no surprise there. But I think it reflected the state of the British music industry, for sure. So Olivia Dean won 4 awards, including Artist of the Year, Album of the Year for her album The Art of Loving, Song of the Year for Rain Me In, along with Sam Fender, who also, you know, picked up an Alternative Music Award, which sort of checks out to me. And, you know, in her speech, Olivia Dean, when she was talking about her Album of the Year win, she was talking about how, you know, it's an album about love at a time when the world sort of can seem a bit loveless sometimes. So it's all just very reflective of the world around her at the moment. Of course, Olivia Dean, some of you might remember from the Grammys where she took her grandma up and, you know, gave this whole lovely speech about her music basically being immigrant music as well, which was a really powerful moment. But she's had the biggest year possible. And I think when you look at other acts as well, like Wolf Alice, who've really grown from being the indie band of the 2010s to being so big that they could win Group of the Year in the face of some really stiff competition. Like, these are not genre kind of awards. These are groups as a whole. Dance music being won by Fred again for a fusion track that he worked on with Skepta. I think also just reflecting where a lot of dance music, a lot of rap, grime, and hip-hop, and even dance and like electronica is at the moment, where it's in this fusion state. We just had a release last week where Fred again, once again, was working with Ezra Collective, and just what a wonderful release that is, kind of bringing together the world of this uniquely British, maybe even London, state of neo jazz, along with electronic music as it's been doing for so long, along with hip-hop and rap. And then breakthrough artist Lola Young, like I said, who kind of sparked off this re-rise of British music. International Song of the Year went to Rosé for that Apata song of hers, but really reflecting the rise of K-pop artists from outside of the West. International artists went to Rosalía, kind of, you know, flying the flag for non-English language music as well. She's a Spanish artist, but the album is in 14 different languages, and, you know, in the rise of Bad Bunny after his Super Bowl performance and everything, people have been talking a lot more about the role of language, and especially non-English language music. So we've got all of that. Björk joined her as well for a performance, I should say, which was a really interesting and very lovely moment. International Group of the Year went to Geese. New York City is back, baby! But apart from that, you know, it's just the state of rising Gen Z alt rock, because a lot of people have been calling Geese the first real breakthrough Gen Z band, you know? So not a solo artist, not a rapper, not a pop star, but an alt band. Personally, if you ask me, the Chats were doing it like 5 years before Geese, but nonetheless. I think, yeah, again, reflecting where we are at the moment, Max Bassin, the only member of Geese who was in Manchester to go and pick up the award, caused a bit of a stir, actually, when ITV cut part of his speech, censored him a bit, when he had said Free Palestine, he said F ICE, and rest in peace to Mani, and he said Go Geese. And of course, Mani getting a tribute in his hometown, Ozzy Osbourne getting a tribute for his contributions to, you know, making British music back in the 80s and everything else that he'd done, led by Robbie Williams, who you would think was a bit of an unlikely person to pull off singing a metal tune, but somehow he pulled it off quite well. And of course, the tribute to Noel Gallagher, who really, I think, reflected the fact that last year British music's biggest export truly were Oasis. And that's the Brits for you for this year. So we're going to move on and play some new music now. We're going to play a trio who say they're a trio of mums called Cruel Hearts Club. They say by night, the Cruel Hearts Club will be found tearing through sets full of punk rock attitude and grunge dynamics. Their songs gritty and glam and decadent. By morning, however, the trio are mums who make the joys and challenges of family life their first priority. You can find them at cruelheartsclub.bandcamp.com, and I'm going to be playing a single of theirs called High Waist Jeans, which is their latest single. We've also got a band from Brighton, a new band called Slag, whose debut EP is coming out on the 6th of March. It's called Losing. You can find them at slag-band.bandcamp.com. And then Eves Wilder, another debut album that's going to be coming out soon on the 17th of April. It's called Little Miss Sunshine. She's been around for a little while. She first came to attention back in lockdown in 2020. When she was still a teenager, she had her first self-released single called Won't You Be Happy. But now she's got her album on the way. We're going to be playing the lead single. It's called Hurricane Girl. It's kind of shoegaze harmonies, rock guitars. She says it was inspired by watching documentaries about storm chasers and then using that as a metaphor to shine a light on friends who've been compelled to seek out tempestuous relationships. In other news, she also says, "I feel like this is my Pearl Jam song," because it's sort of where she first heard Pearl Jam, and she has a bit of a connection to that. But you can find her at Eves Wilder, spelled E-A-V-E-S, wilder.bandcamp.com. Let's get started off first. This is High Waist Jeans by Cool Hearts Club on CFRC Radio.
Save some things. I've got
Hurricane Girl, Eves Wilder. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. We're here on the Yellow Brick Road. We've been playing you new music. A lot of these kind of coming off of some debuts. So we had Hurricane Girl, Eves Wilder. Her debut album's coming out in a couple of months. We had a band called Slag from Brighton who are putting out their debut EP next week. And we also heard some music from Cruel Hearts Club. Folks, we've been also talking about the Brit Awards, so kind of contrasting the brand new entrance into music with some of the biggest names and the biggest successes in music. We've been talking about Brits through the years just because I want to kind of give you some context, because it can feel a little bit like awards shows don't mean anything these days. But there was a time back in the day when, you know, especially in moments when you had the whole nation's eyes on you, as is still the case with the Brit Awards, there's a lot of kind of, you know, these awards meant something. They were kind of shambolic through the 90s as well. And you just had a lot of moments that have left a mark on people in sort of cultural memory, if you will. So the 90s, like we were talking, we started off this week's show with a bit of Pulp when they were performing at the 1996 Brits. They performed their song Sorted for Ease and Wiz, but that was far from the last time we would be hearing from Jarvis that night, because the thing that kind of Jarvis Cocker's most remembered for that night was the fact that when Michael Jackson came up to perform his song, he was playing Earth Song, and you know, he had this big stage set up, and it was all just a little bit pompous and over bloated and kind of alluded to Michael Jackson being a little bit of a savior here and there, and he had like kids standing around on stage, and it was all just one big set. And Jarvis was not having it, because you know, Pulp's performance was relatively stripped down. So he just saw all of this excess and felt a little sickened by it. And so he decided to make his displeasure known by doing, you know, in the most kind of straightforward, no-nonsense, northern man way, he walked up across the stage and just kind of just waggled his bottom at the audience. You know, we do say in a lot of post-press that he mooned the audience, but you know, he didn't actually get his clothes off or anything, but he did waggle his bum towards the stage, and Michael Jackson's team was really offended by this, and they kind of chased him across the stage and eventually had him detained, and he was held overnight in police custody, and they were kind of saying that he disturbed the children and all that stuff, and that turned out to be a lie. And what ended up saving Jarvis was the fact that the comedian Bob Mortimer happened to be in the crowd, and he used to be a solicitor before he was a comedian. So he kind of put his legal knowledge to the test and managed to get Jarvis out of there. And, you know, once it kind of came to be known that a lot of what Michael Jackson's team was pressing was really just annoyance, and you can't really arrest people for annoyance, the tide began shifting, and Jarvis Cocker emerged as sort of, once again, a kind of working class hero at the end of it all. And it was a big moment for Pulp. Maybe a little bit too much press and fame for him, really. I mean, it kind of sent him into his shell, and it's